My name is Andrew Pontius.
And I'm Will French.
And this is Edge Cases, a podcast about mostly Apple-related software development, APIs, developer tools, platforms, and more. This is episode 20. It's Saturday, September 29th, 2012. And our topic this week, are you ready for the topic this week, Wolf?
I am so ready.
You're so ready? Topic this week is tabs versus spaces.
This is going to be our best episode ever.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I was thinking, well, you know, what the reaction would be? Maybe disgust, maybe exasperation.
Is it because of the GitHub coding conventions?
What is this?
Yes. GitHub published their Objective-C coding conventions, and the first item is use tabs, not spaces.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad I didn't read that then. Okay. So actually, well, all right. So someone on Twitter recently said something along the lines of tabs versus spaces is what you talk about when you don't have anything else to talk about, when you're out of other topics as a developer. And that's a bit of a fair cop. My list of topics is running a bit low. It needs to be refreshed a bit, and I'm going to be doing that shortly. But so in the meantime, we'll see where this goes. One of the nice things about this is that I believe this might be our first topic where we're not rushing to get everything in. Into our time limit.
This is going to be the Caramello episode where we have to stretch it out.
Well, so it is going to be a little more than just tabs versus spaces. I am going to expand it to code formatting rather than just tabs versus spaces. So there are two other minor topics after, actually maybe three other topics after tabs versus spaces, but we'll see. We'll see how far we get. So let's see, how would we define code formatting for the purposes of this episode? Now, I don't want to make it too broad. If we say it's sort of any way you organize your code, then we start to treading on territory that I went over with the Cocoa Squad episode, mm-hmm. which had to do with sort of making your code maintainable, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. So I would argue that while sort of virtually everything you do as part of writing your code is it's about making your code maintainable, this is just one small piece of it, so we have to narrow it down. And so when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about there was a time recently when I was taking a relatively old and crusty code base with many files written many years before, and I wanted to reformat it. And so I wound up using something called a Universal Indent GUI. Have you heard about this?
No. I thought you'd, because the way you're talking, I assumed you'd like talk about Uncrustify.
Well, so that... Well, and indeed, Universal Indent GUI is in fact just a GUI wrapper around various formatters, including Uncrustify.
Okay.
And so have you used Uncrustify yourself?
I only know it exists. I have not.
Yeah. So it labels itself as source code beautifier for C-like languages.
Okay.
And it can do, you know, a whole bunch of different things. It's not just for indenting. It's for blank line options, positioning options. And just to give you an example of the kinds of things, give our audience an example. It's like whether to put a space before and after the plus sign, the equal sign, after the asterisk of a pointer versus the asterisk of a, you know, times, you know, all of these options, a lot of very picky options about what to do there. And the nice thing about Uncrustify is it has Objective-C specific options, you know, what to do around an Objective-C method decoration and definition, and in addition to C function decoration and definitions. So, well, the UI for Universal Indent GUI is not elegant. It's just a big gray UI. It does cover, you know, most of the things that you need. So I had a lot of fun when I was playing around with it. Now, I don't think I ever did a commit of what I would have done with the results of those options. And that was because there was never really a time during the development on that project where I felt I had the opportunity to check in those changes in a way that wouldn't screw over the person who was working on it next. So there are two ways to commit changes like that. One is to do it all at once, uh-huh. and you know, all the files, make it all consistent. And I never felt I had the opportunity to do that. Now, the other way is to make the formatting changes as you go. So let's say foo.m has a change. Okay, now I'll also run that file through the code formatter, and then I'll check in, you know, my change and the formatting stuff all together so it's only one commit. Now, what would you say, Wolf? Which way is better to make those sorts of changes?
I would have to say it's kind of I would go with the all at once thing, the batch thing.
All at once thing, right.
Because that way it's in one really painful commit. Otherwise, you're going to be like in merge hell for a very long time.
Right. So if you do it in the second approach, I would go so far as to say you are spreading evil in the world. because the next person who looks at it won't be able to pick the substantive change from the formatting changes that mm-hmm. you're making. Now, so I use SourceTree for Git at this point. SourceTree is pretty nice, and it's also free. Now, SourceTree can filter out the spacing changes. It's got a menu with show white space versus ignore white space. And that can be very helpful. But what I saw was that when I set it to ignore white space, there was at least one case where I would then try to commit, and I would go back to Xcode, and I would say, well, I committed all my changes. Xcode should, you know, make that little M for a source code change, pending source code change, go away. And it didn't go away. And the reason it didn't go away was because SourceTree was so busy ignoring that white space that it forgot to check it in. So that was, you know, that's the last point where I said, okay, my default state is going to be ignore white space. Now I'm always going to show white space because I want to make sure I don't screw up a commit. So even though modern tools can help with that, you know, they're not perfect. So I would say, yes, you should always separate the substantive changes from non-substantive changes if you value your relationships with your coworkers. And even with that, even then, Uncrustify was not able to change everything. It had a lot of options, but it didn't have sort of the hundreds and hundreds you would need to take care of all of the, you know, everything that could possibly, all of the, you know, all the cases that you could find, all the edge cases for, you know, the very weird things that you might want to format code or the different kinds of statements you could make or whatever. And so, you know, even running it through, that's one reason why I didn't do my code that way, was because I kept trying to find a way to make as many changes as possible. Mm. And I kept missing some that I really wanted to make. But so let's say you had this magical tool that could, you know, you could set all the options. You could make every spacing change that you wanted for the entire, all your code base. So one way of describing what I'm talking about when I talk about formatting changes like this is, if you took that application and then you took two copies of your source code file, and you made all the changes that you could possibly make in different ways in those two different files, and then you ran it through this tool and they came out exactly the same, that's it. That's the formatting changes that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And so you know, like adding lines between methods, yes. But rearranging methods, no. Because then that's not just a spacing issue. Right. And one of the things that is particularly important, I think, the thing that I would normally lump in but I'm not going to today, is things like dot syntax. Because dot syntax really feels like it's kind of a formatting issue because you're not really changing what the code is doing underneath. But again, we're gonna hold off on that for today. Okay, so the first topic, obviously, is tab versus spaces. And so I did an informal poll last night with the four developers whom I was drinking with. And so the drinking hadn't gotten very far, so everyone was able to answer my questions with complete sentences. Wow. And so I said, you know, tab versus spaces, one word answer, go. And so it's interesting. I got two answers of spaces and I got two answers of both. Now, both is one word. It's a little cheating, but it was sort of interesting that nobody said tabs. But one person did bring up an article by Peter Hosey. And I'm not sure if you remember this. So he actually had an article called Tabs versus Spaces mm-hmm. In his blog, which is boardzo.org. Mm-hmm. And this is from 2007. And so he talked about, you know, he talked about his take on the Tabs versus Spaces issue. And he brought this up in response to another article by Jens Aufkeim called Uncle Jens's Coding Tips, which is now actually no longer available. His old website...
He nuked it.
He nuked it. Mm-hmm. And he has a new one called Thought Palace, which I'll put a link to in the show notes. But it doesn't go back that far. I guess he didn't bring back the articles.
Yeah, so you remember that also the archive.org doesn't pull up his old stuff either. So yeah, it's definitely lost.
No, actually it does.
Oh, it does? Okay, great.
I'll put a link in here from the Wayback Machine, as we've done a couple of times already for a couple mm-hmm. of articles. With his take on that. And actually, the Jens Aufke post mentions another post by Brent Simmons, and this is all in 2007, called Thoughts on Large Cocoa Projects, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. And all of these are actually really nice. It's too bad I didn't think to put these notes in or find these in time. Although I did read, I'm pretty sure I read about the Large Cocoa Projects post when it came out, and also the Jenzelfke post when it came out. But these are also nice to go along with the Cocoa Squad episode, because they are about various aspects of coding, making your code more maintainable. So nice stuff. But in particular, Peter Hosey talks about a differentiation between two ways that tabs are used. If you have tabs turned on, as opposed to using spaces, the first way is tabs as a sort of a logical unit of indentation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's say you're the first level of a method definition, you know, that's one level. If you then put an if statement inside of that, all the code inside that if statement is two levels deep. And then if statement inside of that, three levels, et cetera, et cetera. And that, so far, as far as that goes, you can change your tab settings and you're fine. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, four spaces, which is the default, three spaces, two spaces. And I've actually seen all three of those in various code that was in use. So some of those, you know, three spaces? Who the heck puts three spaces? Somebody. yeah. Haven't seen five or six, though, so that does seem to be the limit. But you can change the spaces in there, and everything's still hunky-dory. But then the other way that you use indentation is to align things. And so if you have a C function call that has three arguments, and let's say all the arguments are really long, so you don't want to just have them all be on the same line. You want, instead of after the comma for each argument, instead of space, you want to put a return. And that means that each of those arguments is then aligned with the previous one, and they're all aligned under right after the opening paren of the function call. So what Xcode does, and this is something that Peter Hosey talks about in his article, what Xcode will do is it will use whatever tab setting you have and says, okay, let's say the function name was 10 characters. Mm-hmm. And then 10 plus one for the paren, that's 11 characters. So you need to give 11 characters indented from your logical indentation. And what Xcode does is it says, oh, okay, and your tabs are each four spaces. So I'll put two tabs there. Mm-hmm. That gives us eight spaces. And then three more spaces, regular spaces, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Now, the trouble with this is that when you then change the tab settings, that all gets screwed up, because assume that they were four, now they're three, now they're five. Your logical stuff is screwed up. And it's not just – so it's function calls, method calls, obviously, where you're aligning your colons, which is something that seems to be pretty common. Actually, I would say that the aligning the colons is probably more common in the code that I've read than aligning your function parameters.
Yeah.
But, you know, people do both. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so if you align your colons, your host, or your hosied, maybe. And perhaps I did do this entire topic solely so I could say that.
Perhaps
not. So what Peter Hosey was saying is that what IDEs, what text editors should do, is they should use regular tabs for the logical indents and then spaces for everything else. And so then you space in from the start of a method name, from the start of a function name, after doing the type for a variable argument, a variable declaration. We should only use spaces there. And if you did that, then changing the tab settings would not affect anything. You could really use tab settings the way you want. People could really use tabs the way they would like to actually change the formatting in a way that doesn't screw up anything else. But since you can't do that, what people tend to mean, I think, when they say tabs versus spaces is, you know, I use tabs because I'm in an environment where it won't get screwed up.
Right.
And that's the way it is. My current company right now, we're a small company, very few people involved. The people don't tend to be really picky about their Xcode settings or anything else. We're not using a lot of legacy code. So, you know, when we decided, okay, we'll use tabs, what that basically meant was, yeah, no one's going to screw with it. Mm-hmm. And let's just use tabs because of fewer characters, whatever. Now, when I was at Apple, we had a wide variety of code that I worked with and a wide variety of settings that various people used. Now, the one I remember, because it was the most far out, was actually in Xcode, you can set two different things. At least you used to be able to. I'm pretty sure you still can. You could actually set the initial tab length versus subsequent tab lengths.
Really?
And so you used to be able to. I'm not sure if you still can. I should have checked before the show.
I don't remember seeing that in the GUI, so I'm bringing up the GUI now. I see text editing and indentation, tab width and indent width. Okay, yeah.
Right, so they kept it. And so I knew somebody who had 8 characters, for 8 spaces for the first and 4 for subsequent.
Hmm.
And that just completely screwed up any attempt to make tabs work for anybody else. Because, you know, he would set his files to that, and everyone else would use 4.4 for the most part. And, you know, once you switch to his code, since he was using tabs, or at least at one point he was using tabs, you know, I had to actually go into Xcode, change the global settings, because you can't change it for project,
right,
to edit his files, and then, you know, go back to it to do something else. So that, for that period of time, I was like, you know, screw it. Spaces forever, man. Spaces forever. Because that just seemed to be the only way to make it work with large scale projects. So, you know, you could, you know, so there's a couple things here. You could, use spaces everywhere, which is how most people deal with it when they get into trouble. You could try to use Hosey's solution, which basically means, so if you try to do that now, you know, one thing you could do is you could say, all right, I'll type on the tabs and then I'll just type spaces for the rest of it, mm-hmm, you know, to try to do it manually. Mm-hmm. But that's really fiddly. So, you know, that's really, if you were expecting a large number of developers to follow that, you know, you're kind of crazy, because they're not. They're going to screw it up. So that's basically not going to work. So, you know, if you really want that to work, you're probably, your best bet is to, you know, file a bug with Apple, right, to see if they can. Yeah. So, yeah, my tone of voice kind of gives it away. Given the rate of the third-party feature requests are granted by Apple, wouldn't necessarily hold my breath. I think your best bet there is, you know, get an Apple employee from the Xcode team, you know, buy him or her, you know, some drinks during WWC, and, you know, just try to convince them that, like, this would really help the world. And, you know, they can go off, you know, take a day or two to throw that in. Because it would actually, you know, it is going to make it harder for the text editor. It is a harder implementation, because right now, all they need to do is say, well, how far are you? What are your tab settings? Bam. You know, the logic is very simple and requires no context. But so you need to change it such that now hitting tab would do something differently depending on what the line before it, or the line before that, or the line before that, mm-hmm, actually has in it. And so that's more work. And I can see why that would, you know, if that's not somebody's priority, it's, you know, it's going to add risk, it's going to do whatever. That's the kind of thinking I would posit is in Apple's thoughts when they say, no, we haven't done that yet. But if, you know, if everyone who listens to the show, all however many of you there are, hundreds, thousands, what do you think? Thousands?
Well, I think millions? At least 100,000.
100,000, right? All of you file a bug, then it will take them that much more work to close all those bugs as duplicates. But actually, there is a third alternative, and which you could use right now to make sure that you can all use tabs as regular indent style, and that is, don't ever align anything.
Right.
Right. So, you know, have all your methods, you know, just put them all on a single line, your method invocations. It would actually, I think actually, so that's doable. I've seen code that does that. It's not the worst thing ever. I think it would actually hit harder with long lists of variables, mm-hmm, variable decorations, IVAR decorations, because you really do want all those names to be aligned with each other. You don't want them to be all ragged, because it's just harder to read all of them.
Right. When you're if you're doing the slide, it's definitely to have the keys or what have you, the constants on the left side and the, yeah, values on the right. It's definitely seeing those columns. You read it like a table, and it's much, much easier.
Doing the slide, great. So I adopted my terminology for So that's, let's see. And one place that I, you know, you see that, obviously you see that with Objective-C class decorations. Another place that I used to see a lot of variables altogether was in older C and Objective-C code, because it used to be, right, that you couldn't declare local variables anywhere except the beginning of a function.
Right.
And I don't remember exactly when that changed. I mean, it's probably at least 10, 15 years ago that they added the ability to do that. But I always, for a while there, I was always able to tell when code was a little older, mm-hmm, they still had that, mm-hmm, in place. Obviously, when
I still see some people still seem to prefer that, because I see even modern code being checked in like that. I'm totally against that, but yeah.
Right. So if all your variable decorations are sort of local variable decorations are sprinkled throughout your code, then this would happen a lot less. So then you don't have to do it with IVARs. And of course, even IVARs are kind of going the way of the dodo.
Yep.
For Objective-C. So maybe a lot of this will solve itself. Who knows? But that's, so there aren't any great options. And again, if you really, so from my perspective, tabs versus spaces, I would still say, if you're in a larger heterogeneous group of people where you can't just tell everyone, okay, do it this way, you know, you've got to deal with people doing things their own way, you know, I would also recommend spaces for the most part. So that's where I basically coming down on spaces. Do you have a preference?
Well, I'm a longtime tabs man that has since been beaten down. Yes, so I've long since given up. That's why I was really surprised by the GitHub Objective-C conventions that they would actually mention that, because from what I can tell of my peers, like, you know, this has basically been decided, and it's been decided a long time ago. And I applaud Peter Hosey for writing up his article, and I think his concepts are sound, but unfortunately we just don't have the editor support for what his bold new future. So I agree with you, it's far too fiddly to try and pull it off manually. I mean, that's probably even level of fiddliness that even I wouldn't do, and I'm pretty anal about how my code is formatted. One thing that you did mention that I thought you might is that Xcode 4.5 or maybe 4.4 has some new white space trimming, I think, in the Git commits or something.
That's right. It's not the Git commit. It's just typing the code in, I think.
Yeah. But you end up seeing in the Git commit, obviously. I think that's where I think of it. But yeah, it will do that white space trimming for you.
Oh, but I'm assuming, so when I heard that mentioned, and it's true, I did hear that mentioned, so it's good you brought it up. I'm assuming that it will only do that with code that you touch.
Right? I would imagine so.
Right.
But so, I wonder if you do like a select all and then a control I or something, whether or not that would actually trim it through the entire file.
Right. If it does that, then that would make me never do that again. Doing that, even just like, I would never do that for a code file that I hadn't written.
Right.
Because if you're getting it for someone else and they've got a different coding style, then you're basically doing what I just said, don't do. Don't make a lot of extraneous formatting changes in the midst of your other commits. Like, so if you want to do that once, check it in, then go make the rest of your changes, you know, regardless of whether you use the Xcode 5.4.5 feature or not. But it's true. And I wonder, you know, that's the thing, right? Because they could have used the time they applied for that change. They could have done, you know, they could have fixed the tabs thing if they wanted. So I wonder where that came from. Like, is there a bigger issue where that just happens so often with people that they had to tout that as a new feature? It strikes me as the kind of thing that, again, somebody probably did on their spare time, maybe, you know, because they were annoyed by it, and then it was picked up and touted because enough people said, yeah, this is a good idea. I don't know, because it just strikes me being such a small thing, not a grand feature, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not the thing I run into it here and there. It's not a thorn in my side constantly.
The one that I see more is that there are various complaints in places when I don't have a return at the end of the file.
Oh, don't get me started on that. I believe that's one of the. I think it's on by default when you turn on Pedantic. That yes, all C files and .m files have to end in a return.
Right, but they don't. But yeah,
right. Yeah, I actually would, in the old days, I would go off my way to make sure my C file, my source code did not end in extraneous new lines, what I viewed as extraneous new lines, but.
Yeah. And it's beaten down on that as well.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's beaten down.
In the shell of a man.
But I have actually made a bit of a resurgence lately. You know, probably the most beaten down man is the man who uses spaces, and they don't, and they put the unnecessary new line at the end of the file, and then they don't align their declarations, right? But I've made a resurgence, and I used to be that man. Maybe a year ago or something, but I wrote this Ruby script that I started using double spaces. I've gone space, so I wrote this Ruby script that looks for double spaces as basically delimiters, as tabs or two or more spaces, and use those as delimiters. And then it will align things intelligently. And man, I've been using the script everywhere, and it's really allowed me to become a less of a beaten down man. But I will say it does have the problem where if you add like one new constant that happens to be has a longer name than the others, then that means everything in that table will get extended out, and so your diff looks larger for white space reasons, and that's the only bummer I've run into.
Well, but I might have done that manually.
Right.
You know, I would probably do that manually for stuff. So you're just automating what would have happened that way already.
Right.
So so great.
Yeah. That's,
if you ever feel like attributing that to the world, I'm sure no one would object.
Yeah, I've been on my to-do list for a while, so maybe I'll be able to figure out how hard it is to actually push out a gem and pull that out.
One of these days, I should learn Ruby. okay, so the other two topics, which I hope will be pretty shorter. Actually, there's three topics. What's the other one? Oh, yeah, there's three, but we'll see if we get to it. So braces seem to be another pretty common topic among people, is whether to put the brace, whether to align the braces together for code blocks so they line up vertically, or to put the initial brace at the end of the previous line, mm-hmm. right? So which do you...
I'm
prefer.
The latter, the brace at the end of the line. The I guess the is that the KNR style?
You know what? Yeah, I don't think so. I think KNR style is the other style, and I think I should have looked it up. You know, there are definitely people who say, you know, oh, it's dangerous to do it the other way, or not dangerous, but you know, wrong, suboptimal, because they want to see it line up. And I think KNR might have said that, but they might not have. I don't remember.
I'm Wikipedia as we speak, and I guess it is not. Well, here it is. Apparently, the KNR style is that they do a new line at the end of the function and then put the opening brace, but like in if statements, they're put on the same line.
Right, right. And I've seen that style as well, various places. Now, I tend to say whatever you do for method definitions or function definitions is what you should do for if statements. I don't think you should do it differently for those two. But in any case, the argument that I've heard is, you know, the reason you want to put them, the brace on the new line, so that it can line up with the ending brace.
Right.
So you make it easier to, you know, and to slide down. Now what I've seen with myself is that after about 5 or 10 lines of code, it doesn't matter. You're far enough away, trying to eyeball it to get those braces lined up so you can see where you are. In various code that's at various levels of indent, hey, are two levels of code that are several levels of indent apart, are they at the same level now?
Right.
Well, it's just, you know, can't make that happen.
Well, it strikes me, like, the reason I'm a tab man is because I grew up on editors that had no syntax coloring and had to walk 2 miles in snow both ways, right? But I had no syntax coloring and I didn't want to hit, you know, tab spacebar 4 times. So tab was, you know, totally. I actually would have to hit spacebar 4 times if I wanted to do indent. So same thing with this is like I strike the kind of the I guess Wikipedia is calling the Allman style. I guess.
Okay. Where
you line up things, those curlies on their own line. I mean, if you don't have your editor where you can, you know, double click on a brace and it selects the matching one, then yeah, that visually probably is a good thing to have. But now we have better editors.
Now we have better editors. So Xcode definitely tries to help here as well. If you put your mouse in the gutter, it does this weird lighting thing where it makes the white. And then the code blocks that are one indent away, you know, different than this one are a lighter gray, and then further away are darker and darker grays. And so they don't just show that, but there's this like jaunty animation when it comes in. So it's like, you know, some spotlight has been swung around to blind you on your code base. And so I've, you know, when I had it on, I trained myself to never, ever leave my mouse there because I found the animation to be confusing when I'm just through the code. Moment, you know, every so often. And now you can turn it off. There's a checkbox in Xcode to focus code blocks on hover. So I actually just turned that off tonight. But that's actually inside of another option, which is, what's the other option? Nope, don't have that listed. But again, you can go to Xcode to find it yourself. Oh, code folding and ribbon to show that gutter area where if you put your mouse in there, that's what happens. And that ribbon, in addition to initiating the effect, how will I spell that for the titles? Tune in, find out. Is code folding. And as you said, code folding can be very nice to have. Like, so I don't use code folding all the time, but I do like to have it. So I wouldn't turn off that ribbon because I want to be able to turn on code folding. And that ribbon, even if you don't use it does show you, it does have its own version of those darkened and lightened sort of areas of code blocks to give you a better sense of what indentation things are at. And I think it's a good try. It's mendable. But I don't find that useful at all. Like, it's just really hard to line up, you know, darkened areas with the code. Because the farther away the code is from the gutter, it's harder to tell even what lines up.
Yeah, even when I go to set a breakpoint, like, I will click in the middle of the line and then Command-Shift left arrow to bring my highlight all the way to the gutter. That way, I make sure I'm setting the breakpoint on the right line.
Absolutely, I do that too.
There you go.
I have seen, let's see, so what have I used recently? I think I've used Eclipse recently. No, I don't know. Of course, I was using
App code.
And one thing I will also give kudos to Xcode for is that their version of it, while it isn't necessarily all that helpful, is also really, really subtle, I mean, except for the effect. The actual darkening in the ribbon is so light, has such a light touch that while that's not very helpful, it also is very distracting. And I found the similar things in AppCode to be extremely distracting, ugly, distracting, whatever. So at least Xcode gets that right.
Mm-hmm.
And also, again, code folding, one of the things about code folding is if you do put the opening brace on the preceding line, that means the little yellow box when you code fold is also on the preceding line. It's not, you know, they put it over way to the right.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, I can live with that. That's not so bad. So one related thing, you got a little bit of time here, was I've seen some places, and actually recently, and it might have been a Shipley post. Excuse me, it might not. It might be something completely different. But someone had talked about how they don't like indenting. Now, we just talked about indenting, actually. We just said, you know, hey, if things are indented really far to the right, it's hard to see, you know, where to put a breakpoint, whatever. So some people try to get around that by changing their code, and again, this is a little off topic, but changing their code such that they return early rather than indent in like if statements. So
right.
If you know, if this, okay, and then if this, okay, and then if this, then do the meat of your method. Well, that means that the meat of your method's code is four levels deep. And some people really don't like that. So they'll put, you know, if not this, then return. If not this, then return. If not this, then return. And then do the rest of the code.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that while I sympathize with that approach, I sympathize with that problem, I still would rather not have early returns, if at all possible. Because I just find, again, with the slide approach, with trying to make things maintainable, the more I have to hunt for return statements in a method, the harder it can be to maintain a file. So I'm willing to suffer the indents and arrows of what's the quote?
Slings and arrows.
Slings, you know, the tabs and spaces of outrageous fortune. that's another title there. instead of, you know, for the sake of having one return statement at the very end of the method.
I used to be on your side there. I was pretty much a single return stickler there, and I over the years I've softened and. Probably because I often have like NS parameter certs in the beginning of methods, and those are essentially end up being early returns as well. So so when I'm doing the slide, to use your terminology, I'm definitely I expect the prefix to be kind of like sanity checking, and as part of that sanity checking, the early returns I just mentally, conceptually, that's fine for me now.
Right. Well, you know, the exception that I will make, that it is returns at the very beginning of the method are pretty good. Yeah. They're what I generally accept. That's what you're talking about. That's what the author was talking about with that. So,
okay,
it is doable, but I, you know, when do you stop? You know, if there's a return 10 lines deep, is that still the beginning of the method?
Oh, no. It really has to be in that opening, you know, first stanza of the method or the function.
Yep. So in the last bit was just talk about other spacing. And I would say here that I would tend to say more is better about spacing. When you have sort of denser code where there's fewer spaces, like, you know, as I said before, you know, spaces around your plus symbols, about your equal symbols, that, you know, the people who do these sort of denser styles, I'm not a fan of those. Because yeah, it's just hard to read. And so I tend to put a decent number of spaces between within lines, and then I put returns after and before lines a lot of the time, to the point where, you know, let's say a method has 10 lines, you know, I may put a return after every line if it's the kind of method where each of those lines is kind of doing something significant, because then that gives you that sense, well, okay, break it up a little bit. These aren't all related, strictly related. These are each something important. Because, you know, if you look at a method and say, okay, it has 10 lines, the first four are together, and then the next three are together, and the next three are together, you know, you would see right from there that your mind would associate those two together. And that's an extremely efficient use of that sort of information. Like, you don't need to put a comment there. You don't need to put braces there. You don't do anything. Just that one return gives you so much information that I'm really a fan.
Yeah, I'm looking at your spacing here on your reign of error app delegate.
Yeah, sure.
And sure enough, I see the spacing, and pretty much we're in agreement here. You know, kind of adding the vertical space to kind of separate major portions of the method or function. Yep, I'm there. Although I do see you use the standard Apple convention for, like, putting the space after, like, UI application space asterisk. And that is what everyone does, and it's probably the correct thing to do. I do not do that. I do condense my horizontal space because so C is, unfortunately, it kind of has this problem with types in general, that, you know, you have a char, and it's an X, and it's a pointer, right? And so does the asterisk go by the X, or does it go by the char, or where does that, or some people put in the middle because they can't decide. So this entire thing there, I tend to kind of batch pointers, try and batch the types up. I think that's kind of because back in the bad old days of Mac programming, you had to write a lot of type def function pointers, and those kind of got jammed together.
So again, just to be sure I understand, because I didn't catch the beginning of it, you would do like car star space foo.
Oh, actually, the variables I would not to do that. So I'm a bit inconsistent, but of course C is inconsistent. So it's, yes, it would be more for my variable declarations. It would be char space asterisk foo, and then, but for the methods, then I would jam it together because it's inside the parens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it does make a difference. It does make a difference how you read it, because the parens are definitely giving you some nice stuff. I mean, and I find that I'll both read them differently and sometimes format them differently, you know, depending on whether it's a C function or a method. So, for example, if I'm taking a method and I want to turn it into like a static function because it's only going to be used inside, it's, you know, it's a little helper thing that doesn't need the overhead of a method call or whatever. I might write it a little differently if it's a function versus a method, because functions in C, their parameters are not, you know, they're not, you know, put parens around them. So it's read them a little differently. Yeah. Anyway. So okay. So that's pretty much it.
I will bring up another point that it looks like it's not on your agenda. And if you look at like the source code for a Mo generator right now, it is quite a mess. And that's because I have not been enforcing enough discipline. When I get these great patches from people and unfortunately, they use a different code format inside. You know, they indent with tabs or they indent with spaces. Or now it's even worse because now that the source file is a mix, it's like people just kind of use what they want to use.
They're free to follow their own heart, as it were, because there's no style to follow.
Right. It definitely started with a file. I'm sorry, it started with a style, but I was a bit too. You know, it's really hard to, you know, you get this pull request and it adds this feature and it feels so very petty to say that's a great feature. I can't wait to roll it in, but no, you got to change your code formatting style to match my view of the world.
Yeah, but on the other hand, then you're making work for yourself if you want to fix it all.
Well, now I have universal indent, whatever you called it, universal indent GUI. So it can do all this work for me. So thank you.
I'd be interested in what you think of it.
Yeah.
So anything else before we wrap up?
No, that does it for me.
Okay, great. So please visit our website, edgecasesshow.com, all one word, to see show notes, a link to our podcast on iTunes, and more. You can also find us individually on Twitter. Myself, A. Pontius, APONTIOUS, and Wolf, his last name, Wrench. That's the word rent, RENT, plus Z, plus SCH. So we'll see you next time.